I too will echo what Tim said just a few minutes ago. We are so blessed to have so many wonderful mothers a part of our church body and family. And I hope that you realize the difference that you make in the lives of your own maybe biological children or adopted children or just children that you take on the responsibility of being that motherly figure for. We are blessed to have you, and we are thankful for all that you do. I'll probably forget at the end of the service. I'll try to remember, but they do have just a little token of appreciation that they're going to hand out to all the ladies in the church. So not just mothers, any ladies, as you're leaving, there will be just a small token of appreciation for you, and hopefully a piece of encouragement for you as you leave this morning. 2 weeks ago, we started into talking about the idea of truth. And as we got into this 2 weeks ago, we really looked at the idea of speaking truth. And at the very end of that message, I just touched a little bit on the idea of hearing truth or receiving truth that's spoken to you. But to kind of do the full circle, today we're just going to shift gears and we're going to really focus most of our time on hearing truth, on receiving truth when it's spoken to us. And then at the very end, we're just going to kind of jump right back into one last thing that I want to say in regards to speaking truth. So as we get into this morning, it's important that we remember that as we speak about truth, we're not talking about what you and I may perceive to be truth. We're not speaking about what you and I maybe wish to be truth. We're not talking about what society says in the moment is truth. What we're talking about this morning is the Word of God, His unchanging, absolute truth that we all have access to. So the only way to actually know truth is to be in God's Word and to grow in our knowledge and our understanding of God's Word and to make sure that we know God's desire for our lives from His Word. So I want us this morning to spend a little bit of time just looking deeper about the idea of hearing truth. Let's pause and pray together before we get started. Heavenly Father, this morning I just come to you, and as we go into your Word, as we look at this second piece to our conversation, to our studying of this idea of truth, and how it should impact our lives, open our hearts, open our minds, allow us to really hear from you this morning. We know, Lord God, that at times it's really hard to speak the truth. And we know at times it's really hard to hear the truth. So, Lord God, I would pray that you would work in each one of us. And if there are people here that there is something that needs to be said that is based in your Word and is the truth from your Word, I would pray, Lord God, that you would work within them and give them the courage and the boldness to say what needs to be said. And likewise, Lord God, allow us to be a people who are open to hearing the truth. Because as we look this morning, I think we're going to see some amazing benefits of hearing your truth spoken into our lives. So Lord God, we invite you into this place this morning in a unique way, just for your Holy Spirit to be at work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, near the end of this service, I shared from Proverbs chapter 27 in verse 6, where it says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Just think about that for a moment. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. When a friend speaks truth into my life, it might hurt in that moment. It may be really uncomfortable in that moment. But if they are truly a friend, what they say can and should be trusted and considered. We talked 2 weeks ago about that famous line from that movie, A Few Good Men, right? Where Tom Cruise is kind of hammering at Jack Nicholson, the military commander, and he says, "I just want the truth." And he says, "You can't handle the truth." Whether we want to face it or not, truth has to be a part of a healthy, right? I say the word healthy, that's an important key word there. Truth has to be a part of a healthy relationship, no matter how painful it may be when it is said. However, I think our human nature doesn't handle truth very well all the time. We often don't welcome people into our lives to speak truth because it puts us in a place where we, number one, have to admit that we actually have failings in our lives. That we have shortcomings in our lives. We have to humble ourselves and maybe even make some changes in our lives as a result of somebody being willing to speak truth into our lives. I would say that the majority of people probably struggle with this, and yet it's so very important to any kind of growth or maturity to take place in our lives. We gotta hear, we gotta learn to listen to somebody that speaks truth into our lives. In the book of John, Jesus said it this way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If Jesus is the truth, as He has spoken, then our lives should reflect truth because we're supposed to be an imitation of Christ. So if He is truth, then our lives should reflect truth. We should love what is true and hate what is not. Proverbs 15, verse 14. It says a wise person is hungry for truth, while a fool feeds on trash. A wise person is hungry for truth. How many of us in here are hungry for truth, even when it means that it's going to hurt sometimes to hear it? Truth must be one of the markers of a healthy relationship. I want us to spend just a few moments this morning considering how to get to the point of being able to welcome people into our lives that are able to speak truth into our lives so that we can gain from that. You see, God in His wisdom, I believe, has created this idea of having people actually speak truth into our lives so that we can become all that He desires for us to be. So there's three thoughts that I have this morning that I want to share with you. The first thought is this: you must have a healthy view of yourself if you're going to allow people to speak truth into your life. I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12. It's going to be page 803 if you're using one of the church Bibles. We're going to Romans 12, verse 3. And here we see what Paul has to say in regards to this idea of truth. He says, in this idea of having a healthy view of ourselves. He says this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you," and this is where it really connects with what we're talking about right now, "do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. We all need to have an honest view of ourselves. Now, hopefully this isn't earth-breaking news for you this morning, what I'm about to say. And if it is, I'm going to ruin your day. And if you're one of the ladies that's a mother here, I'm sorry for ruining your Mother's Day if that's the case. But when you look in the mirror, you should see somebody that's not perfect. Right? I know I certainly don't see perfection when I look in the mirror. But we all should know that we have not arrived at a stage where we no longer need to improve our lives or who we are, and that we still need to make changes in our lives. If you can look at yourself that way, then you will open the door for growth and change to occur in your life. See, we must realize that we cannot see all the things in our lives that need changing. And it's just simply that metaphor or that picture that we've heard before. We're just too close to the situation. We're too close. We're too narrow viewed in regards to ourselves because we're right there. Where somebody else looking in at our lives from a distance is able to identify some of those things a little bit easier, perhaps, than you or I are. If we can convince ourselves of this fact, then we will be much more open to hearing what others have to say. And hopefully they're saying it with love and respect and all those kind of things that we talked about 2 weeks ago, right? The second thing I want to touch on, the second thought I want to touch on this morning is you must have trusting people in your life. It's important that we understand that we don't need to listen to everyone. All right? It's okay to be selective in this. Now, don't just like a whole bunch of people that are just going to praise you for how wonderful you are and all that kind of stuff. That's not helpful. There are some people, however, that the only thing it seems like they want to speak or maybe are able to for whatever reason. There are some people that the only thing they're able to speak is hurt and destruction into somebody else's life. And that's not going to help you in any way, shape, or form. So it's okay to be selective because I think some people, for whatever reason, are wired in a way that the way they build themselves up or give themselves more purpose or more meaning in life is to belittle other people. So be careful of that. Guard yourself from people like that. But find people in your life that you can trust. You got to find and include people in your life that love and respect you. If they truly love and respect you, and you give them the right to speak into your life, they will do it in a way that is caring and loving and truthful. Listen to those who love you and those who have a position of authority in your life. If you feel that they truly care about who you are and your ability to be all that God has created you to be. Now, they may not word it that way because they may or may not even be followers of Christ. But look for people who you know care about helping you become a better person. We don't trust because we'll never get hurt. We trust because it provides a healthy ground for relationship, growth, community. We need to trust people who we know would never intentionally hurt us. Remember Proverbs 27, verse 6, right? Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I remember years ago, this goes back probably 7-8 years ago. And I remember I was down at the Hershey Medical Center. And I was visiting somebody down there. And I was on my drive home. I just left there. I'm on my drive home. And I got a phone call from Lori, who's the administrative assistant in church office. And normally when somebody calls into the office and needs to make an appointment, she just goes into the calendar and sets up an appointment for a few days down the road, and that's that. So I got a phone call from her on my way home this particular time saying, hey, so-and-so called, and they would like to meet with you this afternoon. I said, great. So we made it happen, and I knew something had to be going on because there was kind of an urgency that came along with it. And so the afternoon came, and the person stopped by to the office, and we sat down and we talked, and this individual spoke truth into my life in that moment. And let me tell you, it was hard to hear, because the person felt like I needed to be doing a better job in helping care for them in a dynamic that they were walking through. And I was missing the mark with it. And they were right. For what they needed, I was missing the mark. But you know what? It changed how I functioned with them. Because somebody that I trusted, somebody that I knew cared about me as a person, and the role that I have as a pastor, came and spoke truth into my life. We have to surround ourselves with people that are willing to do just that. Kindly, lovingly, speak truth into our lives. I know I certainly have space and room to grow as an individual and as a pastor. And this person, in the most loving way, came, they spoke kindness, and I believe they probably helped me become a better pastor as a result of that. People in your life, you need to have, and you need to have people in your life that care about you and that you can trust. The third thought for this morning is choose to love what is true and grow personally. Once you take truth on, once you really allow it to set you free, you'll begin to love truth and the growth that can come with it. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 32. In John chapter 8, verse 32, these are the words of Jesus and His thoughts on truth. And again, we touched on this 2 weeks ago, but I want to remind us of it this morning. In John 8, 32, Jesus says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Such an important verse for us to remember. Truth brings freedom from darkness in our lives, from ignorance and being trapped in false realities. Nobody that I know of likes to be in the dark in how they live their lives. But we don't want that. People that desire to grow and to strengthen who they are have got to be willing to hear truth from outside sources and love and desire from people that love and desire for them to grow. It's that kind of truth, when it's heard, when it's accepted, that we need to allow to let us grow as a person. Just think about it. Anybody in here that holds a job, at some point in time, I'm going to guess that you go through some kind of an evaluation as to your performance at that work. And when you go through that evaluation, you really have a couple options as to what you can do with the feedback, the information that you get from your supervisor, right? The first one is you can just simply ignore what they say. You can go into it with the attitude of their opinion's stupid and so are they, right? That's not going to be very helpful in growing as a person. Or the second response that we can have is we can hopefully embrace what they say. See, I'm going to guess that these people that are in a role of management over us, that they actually want what's best for you as an employee because they care about the business that they are operating. Right? So what they're saying to us in those kind of moments are things that will actually, if we can take them and embrace them, will help us grow as a person. Because they want us to do better tomorrow than we are today. People who love truth, love the light switched on in life, those people have to embrace truth when it's spoken in order to allow it to grow us. If we can welcome these kind of thoughts, these three thoughts we talked about today, into our lives, then we get a working knowledge of all the feelings and difficulties of not only hearing truth, like we talked about today, but implementing it into our lives, allowing it to change who we are. 2 weeks ago, we focused on speaking the truth. It's really only once you have allowed others to speak truth to you that you can most effectively share truth with others. And I think it's because when we have had truth spoken to us and it's been done well, we become more sensitive as to how we approach speaking truth. 2 weeks ago, we talked about speaking truth and we tied it to doing so out of love. If you remember, we tied it into the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we kind of walked through speaking truth in love. I want you to look at with me this morning at what the Apostle Paul has to say in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go to Ephesians 4 verse 15, page 828, Church Bibles. We're going to see what Paul has to say in regards to this whole speaking truth and love as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, "Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ." Paul is saying that we must hold to truth, but do it in love. Love is what makes truth acceptable to hear and appropriate to speak when we can do it in love. Love will ensure that you are living the truth before telling somebody else to live in it. Love will make you sensitive enough to wait for the right time and the right place because you know how hard it is when you've been through those kind of situations. Right? Again, going back to my illustration from several years back, the individual that came and talked to me, they didn't just grab me after service out in the crowded lobby and hammer it away in front of everybody else in the church. Right? How's my response going to be in something like that? Much more guarded and probably even defensive. But instead, they came and they spoke kindly. And they were sensitive to doing it the right place, the right time, not just before or just after a service. Love will check your motives to ensure that they're pure, they're righteous, that they're not self-seeking. Many times when truths start to fly out of our mouths, it might be self-seeking motives. It might be because we're hurt about something. So then we use truth as an ammunition towards that person rather than as a tool to help somebody grow. Truth at the wrong time and with the wrong attitude, it can be devastating and it can be so destructive to somebody else's life. Still truth, absolutely. but you're not trying to help them. You're trying to hurt them by exposing them. Truth and love must walk hand in hand, just as Paul said, just as Christ said. Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. We must love if we're going to effectively speak truth into relationships that we're a part of. We must love if we're going to expect others to speak truth into our lives. Nobody, I can almost guarantee you this, nobody will speak the needed truth into your life if they feel like you won't listen, or worse, that you're going to get on the defensive or attack back as a response. I believe that there are two critical components to a strong and a healthy relationship. And here they are: the ability to embrace the truth from somebody else, from somebody you trust, and the ability to speak the truth in love. Jesus is obviously the greatest example of this. It was important for Jesus to love us so much that He gave His life for us. It was the selfless act of love that then gave the power for Him to speak truth into our lives. It gave the power for Him to be able to preach truth. He didn't just talk about love. He was love, and He understood that. And He shared that through His actions first. For those of us here this morning who know Jesus personally and have believed His message, I challenge you this morning with this. What great lengths of love are you going to do so that others may hear the truth from you? What are you going to do to earn the right, is another way of phrasing this. What are you going to do to earn the right, the ability to speak truth into somebody else's life? It's not something you can just go and do. There's got to be a relationship there. There's got to be an earned privilege, so to speak, there. Jesus showed us the depth that He went to earn that right, to earn that privilege, speaking truth into our lives. What are we willing to do as believers to earn that right? I think there's many believers that have no problem speaking the truth into relationships, but too often it comes across as the do's, the don'ts, or self-righteousness. Jesus never made people feel like that. Even though He always spoke the truth, He didn't make people feel like that. He overwhelmed people with love, and then He spoke truth. What are you doing to overwhelm people with God's love to eventually maybe earn the right to speak truth into their lives? And what are you doing in order to allow people to know that it's a safe thing for them to come and talk to you? People that trust you, people that love you, people that respect you. What are you doing to allow them to know that they can come, they can speak truth into your life? Because it's this circle that has to be completed. It's not just one side or the other. In order for it to really, truly work the best, you got to be able to hear truth before you can speak truth. I want us to close our time this morning. We're looking at three final verses. It's from Proverbs chapter 12. I'm going to have you turn there. Page 457. Proverbs 12, we're going to start at verse 17. I'm just simply going to read through this. I'm just simply going to read through these verses a couple times and close us in prayer. So just let this sink in. Proverbs 12, verse 17 through 19 says, "An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment." Lord God, help us as your people to be very careful with our tongues and what they say. Help us, Lord God, as a people to be open to hearing truth by those that you bring into our lives. Fully believe that you bring people into our lives as a part of helping us grow to be all that you desire for us to be. So help us to be open to listening to what it is that they have to say, what they see about us. Help us to have hearts that understand that we're nowhere near perfection. We're nowhere near all that you desire for us to be. And the only way for us to grow is for somebody from the outside that's looking at it from a much more distant view, for us to allow them to come and to speak into our lives and to embrace what they've said and work with what they've said, hear what they said, and allow it to make changes in our lives. Also, Lord God, help us to be a people that speak truth but do it out of love. I believe that we probably too often shy away from speaking truth when it's needed. And when we do that, I think we let you down as our God. I think we do a disservice to the people that we love, because then they are not able to hear an outside perspective on it and perhaps decide that a change needs to be made. So, Father God, give us boldness to both speak and hear your word, your truth that is absolute and unchanging. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.